Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All righty, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Since I was out on Thursday and Friday, I didn't get a chance to mourn and talk about the Los Angeles Lakers season coming to an end. And let's have a moment of silence. Please, Stu, fade down the music. Show some respect to your Los Angeles Lakers as we'll have a moment of silence for their season. And we thank you. I think there's a lot of stupid takes that come out of this. Anyone saying, oh, this was a win for Nico Harrison. Maybe the Dallas Mavericks knew what we didn't know. No, sorry. I don't put any stock into what happened in the postseason in terms of now there's vindication for Nico Harrison. He still made a stupid trade. You don't trade a top five player in the league at his age, even though he needs to get in better shape and play some more defense, for basically an older Anthony Davis who is always injured, and you got one first-round pick back, all right? Like, we're in the NBA where Mikal Bridges went for five first-round picks. But the Minnesota Timberwolves, they set the tone early in this series. The Lakers got one game, and that was it. And the Lakers did quickly enter the postseason, and then they did quickly go home, losing in five games. Stu, what was your thoughts when you look back at this Lakers season and the future of the Los Angeles Lakers? Because I got a few things to say about LeBron. And I'm not usually anti-LeBron. I'm not. I like LeBron when I was younger. But the more and more you hear from LeBron the last few years, he does come off as a phony. And I'll explain more coming up in just a bit. And there's a lot of excuses whenever things don't go LeBron James's way. And there's just a pattern after it. But when you look back at this Lakers season, how do you now reflect having a few days to really grieve and mourn the loss of your Los Angeles Lakers, who are now donezo, going home in five games to Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves, who embarrassed your organization?
I would say disappointing. I didn't think they were going to win a championship. I thought they could make a little bit of a run, but there are obviously a lot of holes in this team after the trade. As good as Luka is and as good as LeBron still is, they lack pretty much any presence inside. They lack any depth on the bench. So they need to make a few moves, at least two or three moves this offseason if they want to have a chance at winning one with LeBron or Luka. And then if that's not the case, then it's probably going to be a little bit, and they're probably going to have to build with just Luka and then whoever else they can recruit in.
Now, I remember when LeBron was in Cleveland, and I was doing overnights here on the weekends. And Ben Horowitz, remember Ben, obviously? Of course you do.
Of course.
And Samter as well. He was going off. And I'll give Ben credit. He pointed out some of the excuses that comes with injuries whenever LeBron loses in the postseason. And I remember he went to that podium with the ace bandage or something wrapped around his hand.
I remember that.
Ben, if the guy's legitimately hurt, like, well, what's the big deal? He goes, no, it happens all the time. Anytime this guy loses, he makes an injury excuse. And I was yelling at Ben. And Ben was yelling back at me. Now, I'll say this. I think Ben ended up being right. And he realized that LeBron could be a little bit of a phony a few years before I did. But Chris Sheridan, that former NBA reporter, I think his name's Chris Sheridan. Sheridan Hoops, I believe. He was listening. And he tweeted out, I was listening to Dumb and Dumber on the radio. And he didn't even listen correctly because I was defending LeBron. So then I called Chris up the next day and had him on the show, and I went after him. I go, don't call me Dumb and Dumber. Call my producer dumb. I wasn't the one that was saying these things that you're accusing me, and then you're blasting me on social media. And when we first called, he goes, oh, I'm at a child's birthday party. I'm like, all right, can you do it or not? He goes, oh, yeah, I could step away for a little bit. And we cooked him. It was 20 minutes. It was embarrassing. We had affiliates calling out. They were like, stop the fight. This is it's too much. We're throwing in the towel for Chris because he did not have a good fight up against me in that one. And like, hey, if you disagree with my opinion, it's fine. But if you're going to disagree, actually go after me for an opinion that I have, not something I didn't have an opinion. But anyway, we'll get back to the LeBron injury news in just a second, because that's not even what really annoyed me, Stu. There's one point in the reporting that annoyed me, but where I thought LeBron was a phony was he was getting asked about the lack of size in Los Angeles Lakers. And this guy who calls all the shots for the organization, all right, like, come on, LeBron, can you stop with this act that LeBron and KD both do where they know they have so much power and both of them actually have the audacity to basically think that if they recommend something publicly, that that could impact them in a negative fashion. And all of a sudden, we would actually think, oh, that they're not actually running the shows for whatever organization they're in. But Stu, I was incredulous when I saw that video late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning. Because, right, they lost on Wednesday night, and then I was watching some of the postgame early Thursday morning catching it up when I was in the airport delayed. And LeBron had the audacity to say, oh, well, hey, AD was here. He recommended something. And then he was gone the following week. Yeah, LeBron, that's what the Lakers are going to do. The Los Angeles Lakers, you have that organization by the cojones, right? You have them by the balls. You're going to recommend something, and you think that's why they're going to get rid of you? Stu, you're fair as a sports fan. You're not like some other people around here that will pick their team to win every single time their team is in a big game. You have the appropriate level of being a fan, but also being extremely critical and just giving us your true, honest thoughts. LeBron James, after they lose to the Timberwolves, pulling that AD line.
Yeah.
That's what, like, LeBron the last 5 years, I think, has been so phony. He's the second greatest player of all time. He's unbelievable, right? He's the greatest player to play basketball, not named Michael Jordan. His career is marvelous. His career is unbelievable, right? I could sit here and talk about LeBron in a positive way, but the last few years, some of the stuff he says, and I thought, right, his worst moment in the history of his career was losing to the Mavericks in that NBA Finals and then basically telling all the fans, oh, they have to go back to living their terrible life and he'll be okay, right? That was insufferable. What is a younger LeBron okay? But for him to sit up there and basically think that we're this stupid, right, and insult our intelligence, oh, I can't answer your question because the last guy that answered a question with his true thoughts got traded. What a bunch of chicken bleep. And righty, just baloney that is. That you had to be annoyed as a Laker fan when he sits up there. You're like, all right, stop this act.
Yeah, definitely. It comes off very loser energy. And look, if there's one thing that ticks me off about this like era, this like LeBron Lakers tenure, like, it's fine. Like, they won a championship. That's great. And
it's successful. The LeBron era in Los Angeles.
Of course.
People go, oh, it's a disaster every time he loses. He won a championship. People didn't think LeBron was going to win a championship in L.A. So it is successful.
Yeah, but that's great. But there's always just, woe is me, this excuse after excuse. You know, blame Pelinka, blame whichever ex-coach.
Luke
now you've got your coach and... guess you can't blame him because, you know, his best buddy Redick is coaching now.
Who, by the way, I'm going to be petty here. I like Angel in the YouTube chat. But in the regular season, when Angel's in the YouTube chat saying, Zach Gelb, are you going to apologize about your J.J. Redick take? Oh, J.J. Stu, this dude was a brainiac in this series. He was unbelievable. Oh. And guess what J.J. Redick did? When things started not to go his way and a little criticism... Ooh, JJ, you played all your starters in the fourth quarter, the whole second half. You didn't give them any rest. Little criticism. What does JJ Redick do? He cried like a baby. Wah, I got to storm off the podium. Wah, shut up, JJ. You insufferable douche. Oh, that guy is such a prick. I'm sorry. He is so obnoxious. But oh, yeah, during the regular season, we all have to sit here and give J.J. Redick a big round of applause. How about how he did it in the postseason? Him and LeBron, oh, they were spectacular. Let me tell you that. Oh, my God. So, you know what, Angel? I want you to apologize to me now. Because guess what? I was right on J.J. Redick. When things don't go J.J. Redick's way, he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and he acts like a big bully and a big doofus and a big loser and a big jerk. All right? Enough with J.J. Redick. That dude takes a number two. He thinks it smells wonderful. He doesn't think his bleep stinks. Let's be honest. Oh, enough with J.J. Redick.
You know, how dare you ask me that question?
Oh, he stinks. He's insufferable. But, you know, LeBron and J.J. Redick, when something doesn't go their way, Stu, there are six-year-olds that behave better when they're told they can't have, a brownie after dessert or, after dinner or something like that. Oh, my goodness gracious, the two of them. But thank you for bringing up, getting his coach, because I almost forgot about, the way that J.J. Redick acted in this series. Oh, man, hate to see it, let me tell you. I hate to see J.J. Redick getting exposed for the fraud that he is. And then you get Jay Will, too, carrying his water. Oh, my, some of the Duke players could be just insufferable. And I'm not anti-Duke, but Jay Williams coming to the defense of J.J. Redick. Oh, stop it. You're embarrassing yourself. What, are you going to claim that you got hacked again, Jay Williams? Oh, my God. But LeBron, that did annoy me. I'll fully admit it. Oh, yeah. AD said he was, said the truth and he got traded. So I'm not going to answer that. Stop. There's always an excuse. Always an excuse. Imagine if Magic Johnson, if they would have lost that NBA final. I had to play the five. It didn't work out. It's terrible. I won't give my honest opinion. Stop. Now, how about the injury part? Like, if you hurt, you hurt. But I've never seen someone get hurt, Stu. And when there's not a game on the horizon because you're eliminated and you're not playing till next season, and it's not a major injury, we're talking about a grade 2 MCL sprain, they put a recovery timeline out there. 3 to 5 weeks. And then it was, if there was a game 6, he would not have been available. Stu, if there was a game 6, would LeBron James have been playing?
Yes, he would have played, because of Redick, he probably would have played 48 minutes. But yeah, he would have played like 40 minutes, yes.
He probably would have played 48 minutes. Oh, my God. He absolutely would have played. And now, did you see the commitment to the bit? You see where LeBron's not going?
No, he's not going to the Met Gala now because he has to recover from that knee injury.
You know what? Do we have the breaking news sounder? Find me my breaking news sounder. I need my breaking news sounder, even though Stu just gave us the breaking news. But whenever you have it, just fire it. Even though I'm talking, just cut me off. Oh, yeah, breaking news. Even though it happened 4 hours ago, LeBron James on his social media account, unfortunately because of my knee injury I sustained at the end of the season, I won't be able to attend the Met Gala in New York tonight, as so many people have been asking and congratulating me on. Hate to miss an historical event. My beautiful, powerful queen will be there holding the castle down as she always has done. Now, I'm not going to be bougie enough that I know what's happening with LeBron at this Met Gala, but I had the knee injury. I really know that the knee injury is not that big of a deal. I would have played game 6, but I'll put the report out there that I wouldn't have been playing game 6, and now I'm not going to the Met Gala. Oh, my God. I'll take this a step further, and I said this last year, and I got pushback from this. Steph Curry's not a better basketball player than LeBron James. But if you ask me whose career would you rather have, I'd rather be Steph Curry. Now, I understand LeBron James is the second greatest player of all time. LeBron James is a better basketball player than Steph Curry. But Steph Curry is the single greatest three-point shooter we've ever seen, and he's so likable. What's the biggest thing we've ever critiqued Steph Curry for? That one time he threw the mouth guard into the stand?
Unforgivable.
Stop. LeBron James, though, whether it was how he handled the loss to the Mavericks in the final, anytime he loses, right, there's an injury, or he's going to sit up there and act like he doesn't have clout in this organization. Oh, yeah, AD, he spoke his mind. He got traded, so I can't say what we need. Oh, give me a break, LeBron. And I look at Steph, right? He had that championship before KD got there. Then the two championships with Kevin Durant was there, were watered down. Then he got a championship where he won a finals MVP post Kevin Durant. And you look at LeBron, yeah, his greatest championship, without a doubt, was Cleveland. Unbelievable moment, down 3-1. It was sensational up against the Warriors. It was spectacular. One of the greatest sports comebacks I've ever seen. The two championships in Miami, don't really care for them. The one in LA, it was cool. Don't get me wrong. I know it was in the bubble. I'm not someone that says, oh, that's a Mickey Mouse championship. But if Steph Curry can get another championship, and I don't think that's going to happen this year, to be clear. And I know LeBron has more MVPs, right? You know, LeBron James is considered the better basketball player. But I would rather be Steph Curry. Because Steph Curry has been in the spotlight 20-something years. We know LeBron has been in the spotlight since high school. What is there to dislike Steph Curry about? Steph Curry seems like a real good, genuine dude, down-to-earth guy. And LeBron, he never holds himself accountable. I know there's not a lot to critique about him, but there's always excuses when things don't go his way. And it's like the excuses are so unnecessary. That line about Anthony Davis was just absolutely, and I mean absolutely positively, just ridiculous. And it was so LaFony. It really was. So I would rather be Steph Curry. That's not me saying Steph Curry's a greater basketball player. But if you ask me, Zach, whose career would you rather have? Who would you rather be? Even though LeBron has more accomplishments, I'd rather be Steph Curry. Who would you rather be, Samter? LeBron, or would you rather be Steph Curry?
LeBron. LeBron is worth $1.2 billion. I love Steph, but he's got $240 million.
Matter when you're that rich? Does it?
You know what? There's rich, and then there's billionaire rich. So, yes, there is a difference.
Steph is rich.
Yeah, he's fine. No complaints.
He's not going to be begging for change anytime soon, all right? He'll be able to live and then some.
Listen, whether or not people like me does not impact which one I would rather be, right? Like, people don't like LeBron. I get it. But you know what, though? LeBron has a lot more opportunities that Steph probably doesn't have. He's a billionaire. And he's going to be a multi-billionaire by the time it's all said and done. At the end of the day, and he's got a son in the NBA, whether you like it or not. He's got another son who's probably going to be in the NBA or at least to it. You know, I'd rather be LeBron.
But that to me has nothing to do with the conversation. Who cares about what his kids do, honestly, right now? Like the Bronny stuff, I'm sick of that conversation as well. And that's not why I dislike LeBron James. And I used to be a big fan of LeBron James. It's just, can you hold yourself accountable once? Can you lose with some class? Can you not just make up things and act like you don't get to call every shot in the organization and things like that? That's, to me, the part about LeBron where it just rubs me the wrong way. And for years, I would debate people and tell people that they were wrong, but I would rather have slightly fewer accomplishments. I have the same amount of championships, and you look at the impact and the culture impact with Steph Curry in the game and how he changed the game with the three-point shot and just this ridiculous distance. I get it. LeBron's the second greatest player of all time. Second greatest. Yeah, better player than Steph Curry. But it's not as if Steph doesn't have this all-time great resume because he's one of the greatest NBA players I've ever seen. And he's so much more likable. He's so much more easier to root for. And I know I'm not going to get any of this bull crap that LeBron should be above. That's the problem. Like, Stu, is anyone sitting there and still talking about the Lakers today if LeBron just would have bowed out graciously? Right? There weren't high expectations for this team.
No.
But every time he loses, the guy acts like an ass.
Makes it worse. Just makes it 100 times worse when it doesn't need to be.
Would you rather be LeBron or you'd rather be Steph?
I'd probably still rather be LeBron. I have a hard time separating like the likability.
Yeah, it's fair.
I'm not someone like that. I don't think like the athlete I like has to be like the greatest guy. So I agree with you. Like, LeBron's annoying. He annoys the hell out of me a lot of these days.
And you're a Laker fan.
Yes, and I am. But I just sometimes I'm just like, all right, dude, enough.
You're
enough
ready for the LeBron James era to end in Los Angeles? He's gonna be back next year,
He's
right?
He's gonna be back next year.
That's a player option.
I kind of like to see one run with Luka and kind of a few other pieces, mm-hmm. but I think next year, kind of hoping next year's the last year.
Well, this is the other thing too, and you know LeBron, and he's deserving of a retirement tour. He will take the retirement tour. I don't expect him to just retire this offseason out of nowhere. If I'm wrong on that, I'm wrong on that. But with that being said, and also remember they lost a few years ago, right? He's like, oh, like who knows how much longer I'll play and things like that. All right, it's very Aaron Rodgers like. When Aaron Rodgers loses, it's the same as when LeBron James loses. There's always something that's said crazy at the podium to distract you from the fact that they lost. It always happens. It's honestly just sickening at this point. But we have to now hear Doris Burt say, it's year 23. Oh, he's 42. Like, is that what we're going to do next year? The thing that people don't really talk about a lot, and I know we're having fun a little bit with this mild injury. LeBron, though, he plays at such a high level still. He's still a top five player in the league. He's unbelievable what he's able to do at this age. But he suffered a lot of injuries since going to Los Angeles. Some of them that actually made him miss some significant time. For years when LeBron was in Miami, Cleveland, where were the injuries? They weren't there. So even though what he's doing is so impressive still, and I'll give LeBron that way, right? Hot take of the day. Well, LeBron does still impressive. But his body's giving him signs that the body's not supposed to play at this level in this sport. And there's things that keep on popping up in Los Angeles where he's been injured more in Los Angeles than he's had anywhere before in his career. So I'm okay with one more year. I don't need one more year of LeBron. Do I think he's going to win a championship again in Los Angeles? I do not. But when you lose LeBron, you don't need to keep on making these excuses and lying to us and being, oh, if I give my honest opinion, I'll get traded like Anthony Davis. Come on. You're insulting our intelligence. I'm not a bright guy. I'm not the sharpest, guy in the world. But come on. I'm not just this idiot that's going to sit there and be the sycophant of whatever LeBron James says is 110% truthful. It is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When Tyler Loop was drafted by the Baltimore Ravens, the kicker from Arizona, a lot of people were like, oh, that's it for Justin Tucker. But up until that, there was a question on if the Ravens would continue to employ and stand by Justin Tucker, who, by the way, has been accused of inappropriate behavior by 16 massage therapists from 8 different Baltimore spas and wellness centers. That's tweet is via Adam Schefter with that information. And all the alleged incidents occurred during 2012 to 2016. But that story did come out this past year. So there was a question up until that point, would the Ravens take a kicker in the draft or are they going to stand by their kicker? Well, the Ravens have made that decision, and the Baltimore Ravens, after drafting Tyler Loop, have now released Justin Tucker, and they're saying that this is a football decision. Now, I got to be fair here, because if I'm going to sit here and basically just talk about LeBron for the last 20 minutes and with this injury report and how he wouldn't have played game 6, and also just the jackassery that LeBron James was saying in terms of the fact that, oh, yeah, I can't really speak my mind because AD did, and then AD got traded. Now, I know it's weird to compare these two things because what LeBron is doing is not really a big deal, if we're being serious. This is serious nature things that could have happened. But the Baltimore Ravens releasing a statement and them calling this a football decision. Come on. I understand Justin Tucker didn't have a good year last year. Justin Tucker, I don't think he's the greatest kicker in NFL history. He's one of the greatest kickers in NFL history. I'd much rather be Adam Vinatieri than Justin Tucker. And that's even before these allegations. Obviously, no one wants to be Justin Tucker right now with these allegations. But this is not just me saying, oh, Tucker isn't the greatest kicker ever after these allegations came out. But the Ravens saying that this is a football decision. Like, do you guys think we're stupid? I understand the guy didn't have a good year. If he didn't have these allegations, Stu, who would be the kicker for the Baltimore Ravens this upcoming season?
It'd be Justin Tucker.
Absolutely. So the Ravens released this statement. Sometimes football decisions are incredibly difficult. And this is one of those instances. Considering our current roster, we made the tough decision to release Justin Tucker. Justin created many significant and unforgettable moments in Ravens history. His reliability, focus, drive, resilience, and extraordinary talent made him one of the league's best kickers for over a decade. We are grateful for Justin's many contributions while playing for the Ravens. We sincerely wish him and his family the very best in this next chapter of their lives. And that's a statement from the executive vice president and general manager of the Baltimore Ravens, and Eric DaCosta. So I understand that they're just allegations, right? Serious allegations. But, right, sometimes allegations are made and they're not true. This, to me, says that the Ravens say either the juice isn't worth the squeeze anymore or we just believe the allegations are true. We don't want to put up with what else is around the corner with this. And also, at the end of the day, even though he's a very good kicker, and I know kicking is a huge part of the game, if this was a quarterback, do you think Justin Tucker's still in the Ravens? I do. But kickers, I know it's tough to say you could find another Justin Tucker, but you could find another kicker, all right? So I guess the Ravens here, they're really working that this is a football decision when you start wishing him all the best when you don't need to stand by him at this point and thanking him for all that he's done. But this is not a football decision. This is, hey, this guy's a kicker. Even though he's an all-time great kicker, these allegations are ugly. These allegations are nasty. We'll draft a kicker and hope that this kid could turn out to be good. And, hey, Justin Tucker is getting a little bit up there in age. That's what this is. If there were no allegations, Justin Tucker, who, by the way, the Ravens stand by before these allegations were public and still did stand by him up until today when these allegations became public. But when Justin Tucker was struggling this year and there were legitimate conversations with the Ravens move on from Justin Tucker, and at the time, I thought that was crazy, right? You're not going to give this guy the benefit of the doubt in terms of kicking because he's finally having a bad season? And Harbaugh stood by him. But now, when these allegations come out, it's, oh, well, he's slowing down. He's not that good of a kicker anymore. But you never thought about moving on from him until the allegations did come out. And also, let's be real. Did maybe Justin Tucker know these allegations were coming? And it's from 2012 to 2016. Were things maybe back-channeled to him? Did he maybe hear some whispers and maybe that impacted his play on the field with how mental kicking is? I'm not going to rule that out. I don't think that's crazy to say. But come on, Baltimore. This is not a football decision. And you're entitled to make this decision. I'm actually surprised it didn't happen earlier. But you made a decision, and you made this decision because of the allegations. Which, once again, if the allegations are true, Justin Tucker is a horrible human being. And he shouldn't be kicking. But the idea that this is only a football decision, please. If Justin Tucker was 27 and still kicking bombs for you, and you were in the postseason, and let's say these allegations came out, are you rushing to release him? No, you're not. But that's what the Ravens are saying. It's a football decision. And here's what I would ask. If it's a football decision, you just drafted a kicker, why wouldn't you then just bring Justin Tucker to camp and have him compete? Right, kickers get drafted all the time, and a lot of them stink. So why wouldn't you let him compete for his job? Why wouldn't you do that? Because it's not really a football decision. And I know what they would say. Well, we respect Justin too much. The writing's on the wall. We drafted a kicker. We want him to go succeed somewhere else. Here's my question. Does Justin Tucker get picked up by any other team if we don't get more clarity on these allegations? Stu, do you think Justin Tucker has played his final game in the NFL?
I would think yes.
Samter, has Justin Tucker played his final game in the NFL?
Man, I think if there's more clarity, then maybe not. Or if things get worse. I think the big thing, honestly, is he kicked 95% in 2021, 86% in 2022, 86% in 2023, and a career low 73% last year.
Yeah.
I think the issue is less about... Not less, but it's it's about the fact that he's declining as a kicker.
Sure, but has anyone said Justin Tucker was declining up until this year? This was the first year it was, oh my goodness gracious, Justin Tucker is looking human. This is the first year, the stats could say what the stats say. This was the first year anyone said, even before these allegations came out, Justin Tucker is not looking like the immortal Justin Tucker. So I do think someone would sign him if there weren't these allegations. I still think the Ravens would have kept him if there weren't these allegations. And if he's a quarterback, right? Look what Deshaun Watson was accused of. He got a fully guaranteed contract for a quarterback. It's because of the power of that position. And the NFL is very forgiving if you're not in a jail cell. And even if you are in a jail, there's already talks that Henry Ruggs is going to get out of prison and get onto an NFL team, which is crazy to me. But that's the NFL. They will look the other way if the juice is worth the squeeze. And the Baltimore Ravens today are saying, yeah, what's being talked about off the field is not worth it for us. And if Justin Tucker was still great, and I'm not saying he still can't be great, another team would pick him up. But now it's convenient to say, oh, he's declining. Oh, he's not that great. After 1 year where it wasn't a good year because of what the allegations are. So that's all I'm saying here is I'm going to say that he doesn't play again because I think people are going to say what, like basically what Samter said, I had a bad year this year. But in reality, it's had a bad year with also big off the field problems. And that's, it's just not worth it for a kicker. If it's a quarterback, if these allegations, let's say we're, I don't want to throw a quarterback, say that's not right. But if these allegations were made about a quarterback, the quarterback would have a job even if his old team didn't want him in a second. If you don't believe me, look at the Deshaun Watson situation. It's that simple.
It just reminds me of another former Baltimore Ravens, Ray Rice.
Right? Yeah.
He had the off-field incident, and everyone pointed to the fact that 1,000-yard season, 1,000-yard season, 1,000-yard season, 1,000-yard season, 660-yard season in 2013. Mm-hmm. Then he had the off-field issue, and then there was the excuse, well, he's declining. He's getting to that age as a running back. And so there was the excuse of like, okay, well, this thing happened.
Yeah, but they really had no – they tried to sweep that under the rug. In the NFL, they could deny it all they want. The NFL is as powerful as power could be. They didn't just see that video the first time TMZ got it. Especially it happened in a casino too. They just thought they could sweep it under the rug. There was also video there. Now, hey, a bad act is a bad act. But how many times do you read something and then there's not outrage until you see a video? And when you had at the time Ray Rice, who punched, I believe it was his fiance. Now they're still together, actually. And when he knocks her out cold in an elevator, there was, I thought Ray Rice would maybe get picked up somewhere else, but you knew that the Baltimore Ravens were going to have to get rid of.
No, for sure, but he never played again in the NFL. Yeah. And like we talk about video, Kareem Hunt, there was video, but he was coming off of a season where he won the rushing title, so he got a second chance, and here he is back in the NFL. I think a lot of it, we've seen a lot of football players and athletes do bad things. If they're declining or their career numbers or their recent numbers
ultimately,
aren't worth the snuff.
If you're good, they're gonna a team's
going to exactly
look the
it.
Other way.
Yes, that's exactly
that's the bottom line. Now, I think we're actually closer here than the way that it may sound on the radio, Samter. I'm not saying that you can't make the case that Justin Tucker is declining. But if there weren't these allegations, Justin Tucker is still kicking for the Ravens or he's kicking somewhere else. He would be given another opportunity to go somewhere else. But when someone's declining or if someone didn't have a good year and there's off-the-field allegations, that's when it piles up into them. People try to sell you, oh, this is a football decision only. This is not a football decision only by the Baltimore Ravens. This is more off the field, and then they made it convenient for them to then say it's a football decision. Anyway, this is Zach Gilbert on the Infinity Sports Network. Update time. Here's Zach. It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Chris in Boston says, hey, Zach, who do you think wins the games tonight in the NBA postseason? You can submit a question by tweeting at INSportsCenter, at Zach Gilbert, using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I think the Celtics win tonight. I think it's going to be closer than what people think, but I'll take the C's on their home court in game one. But if you ask me who has a better chance to pull up the upset tonight, I actually think it's the Knicks compared to the Nuggets. The Nuggets having to go through a game seven and that series wrap it up on Saturday. I think the Thunder, who are well rested now, there could be some rust, but I think the Thunder are going to smoke Denver tonight. I really do. So, and also OKC's a 10.5 point favorite. Isn't that when you had the best player in the league in Nikola Jokic? If I'm a better, that's screaming for me to plus the points, plus the points, plus the points. I hate betting the NBA. But I would lay the number, even though a lot of these games, it always seems like if you lay the number, it's going to work, and then the game always finds a way to be close at the end. So I think both home teams win tonight. Thunder and also the Boston Celtics. So we have two game ones in the second round of the NBA postseason coming up later tonight. Celtics and Knicks at TD Garden. That's going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, Nuggets and Thunder. Hey, by the way, West Coast time watching sports events is actually not that bad. Now, I would say I would still think mountain time would be the best time zone. Because in football season, I don't know if I want to be watching 9 a.m. football, if I'm being honest, and have that be the entirety of the 1 o'clock slate. But watching some of these big games, hockey and football, hockey and basketball, Stu, when I was in Vegas at 4:30 p.m., it's pretty nice. It's pretty nice. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, that had to be a vibe. I know when I was out there, Phoenix, a few months ago now, I was like, wow, this is nice. And that was before we got any playoffs. That was still regular season hockey and basketball. But I was like, 4 o'clock starts is pretty cool.
Don't get me wrong. There was a buzz in every sports book we went to when there was a hockey playoff game on and also an NBA playoff game on. But spending that Saturday for the 15 minutes in the sports book for the buildup to the Kentucky Derby, and I ran over and placed a bet on 9-1 with Sovereignty, and then for the 2 minutes in the race, just seeing everyone's reaction, that sports book, it was standing room. Right? There was seats, but then there was a lot of standing room, and it was, you were elbow to elbow with everybody, and the pop and the environment and the atmosphere in the sports book for horse racing was pretty damn cool. And they were passing out roses to everyone and things like that. So I had a rose in my hand. I was like, Sovereignty, go, 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 go. And to be honest, the horse came out of nowhere. Right? I'm watching that race because it's so muddy and so rainy, so it was tough to see. And Larry Combs does a great job for NBC. They have the horses that are in the first five places. And you can see it on the screen. The horse wasn't there for most of it. And then down the stretch, I just heard, I was watching. It was tough to see, really. And the guy next to me was like, come on, 18. I'm like, yeah, go 18, go 18. And then it was Sovereignty against, what was the other horse?
Journalism.
Oh, Journalism, right? So, yeah. It was like, Sovereignty against Journalism. Sovereignty is going to find a way to win the Kentucky Derby. And now we'll see what happens with the race to the Triple Crown. So that's what I really took away from the sports scene out there in Vegas. But the baseball stadium's getting built. The area has been decided where it's getting built, obviously. So football, obviously, is out there. Now, you've never been to a Raiders game, though.
I have not yet, no.
Hockey games there are electric. Stu, I was in the football stadium with you.
We were on the field.
Yeah, that's right. And then you big time me to go to the hockey game. I invited you to the hockey game, and you had plans. Jeez. Santa's like moving and grooving in Las Vegas. Big time me.
I didn't go to a hockey game. You went to the hockey game.
I know, and I invited you.
Oh.
Yeah, and you forgot to respond to me. Then you saw me like an hour after the show, and you go, oh, I can't make it. Yeah, I think you went to the Gatorade party or something like that.
Yeah, something. Yeah. I don't make enough money to have gone to that game.
I was treating you. Oh, my goodness gracious. I was bringing you to the game. I said, you'll come with me, you'll go. But anyway, the only thing missing there is basketball. They got to get a basketball team soon. I'm surprised they haven't had a basketball team out there. But you used to go to Vegas, right? And it was up. Gambling, sports, no, in terms of all the teams that treat it. And now you got a great hockey team there. And the football team can't get their act together, but we'll see if that changes. And you got a baseball team coming. So that's going to be pretty damn cool. Oh, and by the way, I admit when I'm right, and I admit when I'm wrong. I still don't think In-N-Out is like the greatest thing I've ever had. But I golfed on Friday. Beautiful course. Siena Golf Club. I played really well. I was surprised how well I was hitting the driver. And I'm not this great golfer. I wouldn't even say I'm a good golfer. But I was hitting the ball. And afterwards, we're all starving. Playing golf, having a few transfusions, right? Drinking, having a good time on the course. And someone said, we got to get In-N-Out. Now, I'm a little mortified from the last time I had In-N-Out because I heard all the hype about In-N-Out, how great In-N-Out is, and I had it, and I thought it stunk. So I said, you know what, let me have a little In-N-Out redemption. The fries are not good at In-N-Out. I could do without the fries. They're not good. Mark Hochman said, get them all done. I got them all done. The fries are well below average. But the double-double animal style burger, after not eating a lot during the day, after playing golf and need a little pick me up, I will say I will no longer call In-N-Out overrated. I still don't think it's the greatest thing. People are like, oh, it's the greatest thing I've ever had. but I will not call it overrated. I was very, very happy with the In-N-Out burger that I did have in Las Vegas. See? I can admit when I'm wrong sometimes.
That was the one thing that stood out to me. I saw a lot of your posts this weekend, and when I saw that, it just changed my entire outlook on, you know, if ranch and blue cheese is your indicator for a successful NFL player, In-N-Out for me is whether or not I can actually like you. And when you change your mind, I'm like, okay, me and Zach, we're good.
Wait, now hold on. So you didn't like me the last 2 years we worked together because I hated In-N-Out? Is 100%. That what you just revealed?
Oh, my gosh. Despised.
And you're a ranch guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I guess I don't like you. And Stu, you're a ranch guy as well.
Yes, I am.
A ranch and a cat guy, too. Oh, my, I don't like the people that I work with here. What's going on? This is terrible. This is miserable. We all hate each other here.
No, I don't hate you anymore. You can still hate me all you want.
We're actually like one of the few shows where we don't all hate each other. I'm just kidding. Stu, you want to say something there? I got anything to add there, Stu?
I'm good.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Anyway, it is Zach Gelbsch on the Infinity Sports Network. I saw Santa Ono, the president of Michigan, is leaving. He's going to become the president of Florida. And then also, Michigan is suspending Sherrone Moore 2 games from the whole Stallion scandal. And it's weeks 3 and 4. So conveniently, they play Oklahoma in the first 2 weeks of the season, week 2. So maybe the NCAA, I don't know if they're going to drop the hammer on Michigan. I think the whole thing is ridiculous at this point. But I do wonder, the NCAA doesn't have a lot of power anymore, especially with NIL and the transfer portal. And I know that they're as slow as molasses when it comes to handing out punishments, and they're always like, miss the mark. Maybe this is the way that the NCAA starts to flex their muscles a little bit again. I think it'd be stupid. I don't think it'd be worth it to do this, but Michigan giving a 2-game suspension to Moore, and it's weeks 3 and 4, like, yeah, I don't believe in that. I don't think he should get suspended, right? I've been supporting and defending Michigan on this. I think the whole Stallions thing was overblown to begin with. But either you're going to legitimately suspend the coach or not. And the way that they're suspending the coach is a little fugazi, if you just ask me. And I know it's happened before where coaches have been suspended in college basketball. They don't miss, like, conference games and things like that. But come on, what are we doing? Like, if you're going to spend the coach for 2 weeks, you're just going to pick 3 and 4. Not the first 2 weeks of the season, just weeks 3 and 4. Weird to me. Stoop, thank you. Sampton, thank you. Act, thank you. Each and every one of you, thank you for tuning on in, whether it's listening via the radio, SiriusXM, or watching us on YouTube or on the free Odyssey app. We'll be back tomorrow. This is Zach Gilbert on the Infinity Sports Hour. We'll talk to you mañana, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.